He is most definitely everything. I believe that we need to really and truly understand who Jesus is. What he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. The subject matter on this morning, the question, are you converted? Are you converted? We hear different people say different things about other people in reference to their salvation. And as we think about this great question on this morning, are you converted? It is a question that each one of us need to answer. From time to time, as I talk to people about being converted, many times when I go back and I look at Acts chapter 8, at Simon the sorcerer, who was baptized, a child of God, but yet he was not fully converted to the way of God. And as Peter rebuked him on that day, when he thought that he could buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, I believe a change came about. And the change came about because Peter was not sugarcoating the gospel. He didn't play around with him. You know, a lot of people say, well, he's a new convert or she's a new convert. Take it easy on them. Peter was straightforward with Simon on that day. And he just told him like it was. May your money perish with you. You have need a part in a lot in this matter. And I believe that as Simon heard those words, something came over him. And it was not the Holy Spirit that had already taken place. What came over Simon, well, actually that had not taken place yet, but what had happened was he woke up and he realized that this is something that I need to get straight. And he asked Peter to pray for him that it would not happen. That it would not happen. I guess I need to go back. And what would really be good if I opened up my Bible, wouldn't it? Acts chapter 8. That's not where the sermon is going to come from this morning. But I wanted to point that out to you in reference to conversion. That we must be converted. You know, they sent for the apostles to come down in order that hands may be laid on them so that they may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it says that there in Acts chapter 8 and verse 17. Then they laid their hands on them that they received the Holy Spirit. And this is what brought about Simon the sorcerer's conversion. That he thought that he could buy what they came down to lay their hands on to give to them. He thought he could buy it, and that did not happen. Verse 21, you have need of part in a lot in this matter, for your heart is not right with God or before God. Repent. What brings about conversion? Repenting when you have done wrong. Therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. If possible. Now, I want you to understand something. That as Peter says, if possible, the ball is in Simon's court. If he is sincere, godly sorrow, his heart will be forgiven. Now, who is talking to Simon, the sorcerer? Who's talking to him? Who is explaining to him that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you? This is Peter. This is that same Peter that we just read about in Luke chapter 22, where Jesus tells him, when you are converted, feed my sheep. Peter is doing just that very thing right here. He's feeding Simon the sorcerer with some very nutritious food to get him to understand that God is not going to put up with wrongdoing. Are you converted? The word convert is defined as to turn around, to transform, or to change. Now, a lot of us don't like change. But you know what? A lot of us need change. A lot of us need change. Now, somebody just tapped their husband like, that could have been your little raggedy van up there. Look at that van. What do y'all think about that? Got a wheel off. This one right here is turned some sorts of way. You got all these weeds growing around it. But you know, as you look at that van, there is something to be desired. A transformation. A transformation. And we all need one, do we not? It looks good, don't it? Can't see the outside. But you know what? What's on the outside doesn't really matter. What's on the inside is what matters. You know, we tell people about the pink house down the road there. How do you live in a pink house? When we go inside, we don't see that pink. What's on the inside is what counts. Somebody came over there the other day talking about, you got a lot of chairs on your porch for the nephews, don't you? Hey, come over anytime and sit on the porch and enjoy themselves. We tell people, if you come by and we're not home, just sit down and relax. We'll be there sooner or later. But this conversion, you know, a lot of times we think about a conversion, and we think about what is it really worth now. I want you to understand something about a conversion van. It's not what's inside that the insurance is covering. It's what's on the outside. This body in which we have, it is covered by a great insurer. And that great insurer is our God, and he covers the whole thing. You know, we don't have to worry about the destruction of the body by man, but what we need to worry about is destruction of the body by God. And not just the body, but also the soul. So we need to be converted. Did y'all hear what I said? We. I'm not just talking to you today. That's not fair for me just to point out that you need to be converted. I need to let you understand that we need to be converted. So many times we like to preach to others, but yet we're not catching it ourselves. Here come the boat. Don't be late for it, but yet you are late. You remember in the days of Noah, when the wickedness of mankind came up before God. And God told Noah to prepare an ark for the saving of his household. And when Noah prepared that ark, he didn't prepare it with the intent of all the people coming in. He prepared it with the intent of his family going in. But that didn't stop him, did it? Noah understood this, that if possible, that the people could have gone into the ark as well. So he built and he preached. And the only ones that were saved were Noah and his household. They were the only ones that were saved because they were the only ones that were right. And we need to understand today that we need to be converted. And I have no idea what happened to the rest of my sermon. Anybody know? No, I got it. Oh, it's coming out of there now.
It wasn't converted. It was not converted, but it is now.
Are you converted? Are you converted? Hate it when that happens. In Luke chapter 22, verse 32, let's read that again. Luke chapter 22, verse 32. You know, I believe that as we look at these passages this morning, we can gain a lot from it. We can learn what God wants us to do, and we can do these things. Luke 22, verse 32. As again, Jesus talks to Peter, and he tells Peter that he is going to deny him not one time, not two times, but three times. You're going to deny me. But he says, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. That your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. When you have turned again, you know, what is the significance of turning again? How can you turn again to something that you have never been a part of? That's not the case with Peter. Peter was one of the first disciples that Jesus called to make him a fisher of men. Peter was the first one that we find that made that great statement when it was asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter now. But here Jesus is telling him that Satan demands to have you. He demands to sift you as wheat. And if Satan is demanding it, you know, I love God. And I love how God is able to know which one of his servants can stand the test. You remember Jonah? Jonah had a problem, didn't he? Jonah had a problem that he ran away from God. And as he ran away from God, God, you know, created this great fish, had this great fish at the right place at the right time to swallow him up. And the message that God gave Jonah to preach unto Nineveh did not change. It was the very same message. He knew that Jonah would do what he was supposed to do after that whale got a hold to him. And then think about Job just for a moment. How Job was a good man. And God, when Satan was looking for someone to mess with, he said, have you considered my servant Job, who's a just and upright man, one who shuns evil, who fears God and shuns evil? Have you considered him? Job withstood the test. Here, Jesus is telling Peter, you will withstand the test. But you're going to have to go through some things first. And the very thing that he went through was the very thing that Peter said, I won't do that. No. No. See, you never know what you're going to do until you get into that situation. You would hope that you wouldn't. But the good thing, as it has already been stated, Jesus knew that Peter would turn back to him. For Peter knew that there was no better way. When he denied Jesus, the Bible says there in verse 62, and he went out and wept bitterly. Oh, he had godly sorrow for what he had done. But the truth had been told. See, now the conversion is taking place. The cleaning up of Peter's life is taking place. And Peter realized that there's something that I must do. And you can go and you can look at the works of Peter. Acts chapter 2, the first message that was preached unto the people by someone other than our Lord, than his forerunner John, than those in the old Here Peter is preaching the first gospel message in the New Testament, in the Christian dispensation, preaching this message so that people may understand what they must do in order to be saved. Are you converted? Are you doing what God wants you to do, what God, you know, desires for you to do? I'm not going to say need, because God does not need us. We need Him. Are you converted? When we look at the scriptures, when we start talking about conversion, we need to consider some things that it is all about God. Our attention is on how we live. How are we living for Him? You know, people are looking at us every day. And as they're looking at us, they are not only looking, but they're keeping notes. They're taking notes. They're ready to pass judgment upon us by what we are doing. Here in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, and the verse is 21. Here Paul states, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What is he talking about? For to me to live is Christ. You go to Galatians 2:20, and he explains to you what again there in Philippians, and then better here in Galatians 2:20. What is our life without Christ? I talked some about that on last week. That, you know, I don't care about all the goals that you have met, the accomplishments that you have received. Without Christ, they're nothing. Paul says here in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Whose life is it? It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. Amen. Who should we be living for? We should be living for Him. We should be doing everything that He wants us to do. So our attention should be on how we live. Is God pleased with us as He was pleased with Job? Is He pleased with us as He was pleased with Noah? Is He pleased with us as we go through Hebrews 11 and we look at those people that are listed there? Is God pleased with us as He was pleased with them? You know, the only one way you can find out. Die. Die. If you find yourself in the grave, as the rich man was, no, God was not pleased. If you find yourself in Abraham's bosom, as Lazarus is, God is pleased. God is pleased. So we have to ask ourselves, are we converted to doing the things that are right, to living the way God wants us to live? You know, a lot of times we look at men and we want to follow after a man because of how great he thinks that he has become. So therefore, oh, we love this person. We love that person. You ever heard of someone say, you know, he has preacher-itis? You know, you follow that preacher wherever he go. They follow him because they think that he, you know, holds, you know, all truth, and nothing that he says is wrong. Nothing that he says or does is wrong. They're willing to follow that person. Follow that person until they die or he dies. Hopefully that he was living right and that what they're doing is right, but we have to be careful about that, very careful. And there are many scriptures that point that out to us, and one in particular, which is not on the board, is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and the verse is 10. See, we have to be converted to Jesus, not man. To God's way and not man's way. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment." Yeah. Now, I want you to read that one more time, and let's read it a little bit slower this time. Because sometimes we miss what we're reading. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers, brother, by the name of Jim Smith. Is that there? I believe that's what a lot of people are looking at when they're reading this. They're putting some man's name right there. Because man has a way of tricking people. Man has a way of deceiving people. And we have a way of being so gullible that we give in to whatever that man says. That's why I love to encourage people to open up their Bibles. Because a lot of times when I tell you what the Bible that I have in my hand says, what you state and what you say is, my Bible doesn't say that. Open up your Bible and let's see what your Bible says. Read along with me one more time. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Now let's go a little bit further. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. And what I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except for Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. Who is Jesus? See, that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Who is Jesus for us to be converted to him? Who is Jesus that we should follow him? Who is Jesus that we should believe what he says? He's the Son of God. He's the one that was there in the beginning with God. The Bible even tells us that he is God. And you ask, who is Jesus? No, you didn't ask that. I did, didn't I? But that's the question that many people ask. Who is Jesus that I should follow him? Paul is telling you right here as he writes to the church of Corinthians, the church of Corinth, that Christ is not divided. He asked them, is he divided? It needs no answer because we know that he is not divided. We know that he's the founder of the church. We know that he's the builder of the church. So therefore, we need to turn to him. Acts chapter 14, verse 15. Acts chapter 14, verse 15. Let's not follow man. Let's follow God's way. Acts 14, and the verse is 15. As Paul and Barnabas are here in Lystra, the people are looking at what they're doing, and the people are in awe. And here they want to sacrifice to these men. You know, a lot of men will not stop people from wanting to praise them, wanting to bow down to them. They accept that, and their head gets so big that they can't go out the door. But Paul is not like that. The Bible says in verse 15 of Acts 14, he says, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of like nature with you. And we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. What have you created? Did you create the heavens? Did you create the earth? Did you create the waters and everything that's in them? Did you create that? If you didn't create it, if we didn't create it, we do not deserve and we should not accept any worship. Paul is very straightforward with these people, letting them know that it's about God, and that's who we need to turn to. That's who they needed to turn to. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, y'all are wondering, what is that? Let me get it for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse is 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse is 9. We have to do what is right. He says here in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9, for they themselves report, for they themselves report concerning us that the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Do you ever wonder why some of the passages read the way they read? You've turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God? You know what that tells me? That there are some dead and false gods. And that's what men are serving. That's what men are worshiping. And they need to turn to the God. The one and only, the living God, the true God. Turn to Him. That's what Paul is saying that these individuals have done. Where is your faith? Where is your conviction? Who are you converted to? You know, I have to ask it like that. Who are you converted to? Because we were not born sinners. We turn away from God and there we are out there serving all these other gods. We've turned to Him. We've turned to them. And we need to turn back to the living God. As we read here in 1 Thessalonians that it has come to Paul's attention that these individuals have turned to God. And they're serving Him. Because that's the only right thing to do. That's what's going to get them into heaven. Is serving the living God. The true God. Are you converted? Are you converted? Our lives will align with His if we are. It will show. Why is He always hanging out on the corner? Y'all probably wonder, why is He always talking about people hanging out on the corner? Because that's what people do. They hang out on the corner. And generally, when they're hanging out on the corner, they're not doing what's right. You know, you have to ask yourself, have I been here long enough? Have I not, you know, talked to these people time and time again about God's word? And do I need to move on and talk to somebody else? And a lot of times we'll find that, yes, we need to move on. And we have scriptures that show us that it's okay to move on. That God is not going to be mad at you for moving on. When people don't want to change, do as God did. God gave them up to a worthless mind, you find there in Romans chapter 1. We can give them up as well. Still pray for them. When you see them, still encourage them. But you don't continue to go down there and hang out with them. Because sooner or later, what's going to happen is that you are going to start doing the things that they're doing. And there you are. As Jesus prayed for Peter, somebody's praying for you that you convert back to Christ. And sometimes that will happen and sometimes it won't. So we have to do what's right. Our lives need to align with His. In 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2. And the verse is 21. 1 Peter 2 and the verse is 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Follow in his steps. Oh, he's walking the way he needs to walk. He's going in the direction that he needs to be going in. He has a great example, and that great example is none other than Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
You're doing good. You know, a lot of times men are not like that. They read something in God's Word and they say, that's not for me, that was for them. Okay, let's examine it. Let's find out. Who is it really for? Do you call yourself a child of God? Do you call yourselves a peculiar people? Well, what Peter is writing here is to the children of God. That's you and I. Look what it says again. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. You know, you take this verse right here and people say, oh, when were you called? How were you called? See, we were called by the gospel. And we have to understand that when we're called by the gospel, we need to answer that call. You can answer it one of two ways. You can pick up the phone and you can hang it up. Or you can pick it up and you can say, it's me. However you want to answer it, answer it. Obedience is what God is requiring of each one of us. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you. Leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly.
Amen.
Are you that committed? Are you truly converted? Is your life aligning with his life? See, Jesus didn't go through those things that he went through for nothing, as Brother Mark pointed out. Yes, Jesus went through all that he went through, and even death on the cross, so that you and I might live.
Amen.
He didn't do it for nothing. He did it for something, or shall I say, for somebody. And that somebody is you and I.
Yeah.
That somebody is those that crucified him. He did that for them, for us, that we may be able to live. It says in verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live into righteousness. By his wounds or you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Convert, to turn around, to transform, or to change. People need to change.
Amen.
To be the person that God wants them to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. That's something to glorify God about. To give him honor and praise for sending his son to die for the sins of the world, that our lives may align with his. Are you willing to die today, those of you that are not his children? Or are you willing to go down into the watery grave as he went into the grave? Are you willing to come out of that grave and walk a newness of life as he came out of that tomb? to live for eternity? Are you willing today? See, you need to ask yourself, who am I living for? And is my life what God wanted to be? Let's back up just a little bit here. See, we're raggedy people. We're wore out. We're run down. We've had some wheels to fall off. But you know, our God is a God that's able to make everything all right. Again, that's not the outside. That's the inside. You know, a lot of times we just look at people and we think, man, what's wrong with that person? Why do they look the way they look? What we need to do is we need to get to know those people. And as we get to know them, we find out that they're beautiful on the inside. Because they have been converted to the Word of God. It's not about what's on the outward. Remember, God is not looking at the outward appearance. He's looking at the heart of man. And so we have to think and we have to ask ourselves this question once again. Are you converted? Peter, through his works, his conversion was seen. His conversion was heard. And Peter, you know, is again one of the most outspoken apostles that we read about in Scripture. Because he's always, you know, from time to time putting his foot in his mouth. But Jesus says, you know, it's not going to always be there, Peter. When you are converted, when you turn, feed my sheep. Do what is right. So we have an opportunity to do what is right today. To convert to the Word of God and be those people that God wants us to be. Living the way He wants us to live. So if you're here and you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you this morning to become one. To come forth and make the statement that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in the watery grave of baptism and live for Him throughout all eternity. You live for Him down here upon this earth and you're living for Him in eternity. Amen. Because you're going to be judged according to how you live. That's how you're going to be judged. So let's do what's right. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. Maybe you need to come back. Maybe you need to convert. Do what is right before God. Ask Him to forgive you for your sins. And the Bible states that He's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. All you have to do is confess those things to Him and do what's right. Amen. If you're here in your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.